Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. If you live outside of the U.S. or you have absolutely no interest in who runs television companies, you might be saying, who is this subject we're covering today? Don't worry, we'll get to it, and you will be outraged, because that's kind of like our thing.
But that's our jam.
That's our jam. And if this is your first time listening to the episode, I just want to give you a shout out at the warning. At the top of the show, we use salty language in this program. So if that is not your thing, you may want to just listen to something else. Just telling you.
Yeah. Right, go fucking listen to something else.
We are on Facebook. We have a very basic Facebook page. You can go to complain about that language. We also have a private Facebook group, What a Creep podcast group. You do have to ask a couple of questions before you can join because we're trying to keep it contained. We don't want any lurkers in there. It's just a nice, safe space to hang out. We love our cohorts on the What a Creep podcast page on Facebook. Also, you can find us on Twitter at CreepPod. We had to use CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years on Twitter and never used it.
Creep.
We are on Instagram at What a Creep Podcast, and we have an old-timey email if you want to reach out to us, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com, especially if you would like some stickers. I've had a few people ask for stickers. I will get them out to you. I just had a crazy busy week, so sometime next week I'm going to send a bunch out. And I want to give a shout-out to the people who joined our Patreon page, Laura and Mary. We put out bonus episodes. Season one of our show is now behind the Patreon wall. So if you join, you can listen to those. But we put out bonus episodes. We meant to do one in Chicago recently when Sonia and I met up together. We did the mob tour. We just talked and talked and talked about so many other things. We didn't even have time to put an episode together. But we're going to put out a couple of those for you in October. We have so much to discuss.
So much.
But thank you both so much for supporting us there. I want to give Steve a shout out for giving us a 5-star review in iTunes.
Thank you.
All right, Sonia, what do you want to tell them about the website?
It's everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but were afraid to ask at whatacreeppodcast.com. It has almost all of our episodes because season one is behind the paywall. So if you want to hear about what a creep Lance Armstrong is, you probably have to go to the Patreon one. That is one of my favorite episodes, by the way.
Actually, we did repeat that one. So it's still.
Oh, okay. Well, if you haven't heard it, go do it.
The reason I did it is because for iTunes and for a few other apps, they stop at 100 episodes. So they don't go further than that. So that's why we had to do that.
Yeah, of course. And and it's got a link to our merch shop. So if you want a What a Creep t-shirt or tote bag, anything you want, you could get a pillow, for Christ's sake. You could go to you could sleep with me and Margo. Get a pillow.
I'm warning you now. I need a fan. If it's too quiet, I can't sleep.
I 100% sleep with a fan too. Sorry. It's true.
Oh, also, you guys, we've had this question a couple of times this week for some reason. Sonia is the one that is wearing glasses.
Yes, that is me. Red hair, glasses. I think that's everything about the website.
What we do with this show is we talk about creeps from the past to the present. And just so you know, at the very end of the episode, we always bring up someone who's not a creep. I super love her, not a creep today. It was a suggestion, by the way, from somebody in the Facebook group. So thank you all for doing that.
It's the best group.
They really are that great. But it's just to leave you feeling good about the world when you're done, because this guy is a real shithead that we're talking about today. We're talking about Les Moonves, who used to be in charge of CBS television here in the United States. He's someone, if you're a Howard Stern listener, he railed against this guy for years. Not for the reasons it turns out he should have, but...
Let's start at the beginning. Leslie Roy Moonves was born October 6th, 1949 in Brooklyn. He's a Libra. Boo. His parents were Herman and Josephine Moonves. Herman owned some gas stations and his mother worked as a nurse. He's got one sister and two brothers. One of those brothers is entertainment lawyer Jonathan Moonves. I don't really know who that is, but several articles pointed it out. He attended Bucknell University. He graduated in 1971. He was interested in acting. He did a few plays in college. But after graduation, he moved to Manhattan to pursue acting, where he eventually graduated from the Neighborhood Playhouse School of the Theater. Ooh la la. And then he moved to L.A. because that's what you do, right, when you want to be famous.
Sure.
And he got like a few parts. He played like tough guys on TV shows like The $6 Million Man.
Oh, really?
Which I used to love. I loved The $6 Million Man and The Bionic Woman.
Oh, my
loved
God.
That
when
stuff.
The Sci-Fi Network was replaying them, I was so psyched.
I kind of want to rewatch Bionic Woman now.
Jamie Summers, she's amazing.
Yes, I'm going to go back and watch that. His acting career never really took off, so he decided to focus his efforts behind the camera. It was around this time that he married his first wife, Nancy. This was 1978, and they have three children together, and one of them is Sarah Moonves, who's now an editor at W Magazine. She's an editor-in-chief. Sorry, I don't want to downplay her role.
No,
she's an editor-in-chief. Yes. He worked at a couple of production companies. One was called Lorimar, and they did shows like Dallas and Full House. And then he got a job at Warner Brothers Television, and he developed Friends and ER, little shows you might have heard of. Mm-hmm. And then he moved to CBS, and this was 1995. And at the time, CBS was a last place network. There was like this running joke about how the audience for CBS was like insanely old and it was like dying off. And, but he helped move that network to first place and he put it back on the map. He was behind shows like Survivor and CSI, the original CSI, Big Brother, and Everybody Loves Raymond. I mean, those shows are insanely popular.
Made a lot of money.
They did. In 1998, Moonves became CEO of CBS Television. And then in 2006, Moonves became president and CEO of CBS Corp. And that's when they started putting all the other things underneath him. So it was like Simon & Schuster, Showtime. And he was also chairman of their board. He had a lot of power.
Holy shit. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Simon & Schuster shocks me.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is a point where like these things started to break off. I think it had something to do with stocks, and that stuff is a mystery to me. But for a long time, he controlled all of this. He was very powerful and he could make or break your career. Like we said, CBS was a huge network. It was very, very popular. It was number one. I mean, it still does really well. And if you crossed him, there were a lot of shows and, you know, your books were not going to get out there. You weren't going to be on Showtime. You weren't going to be on CBS. Like, these were big deals. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of all this, like he split from his wife. They were living separately for a long time. And then he met Julie Chen. And that was in 2000. Yeah. And that was in 2004. And just a few weeks after he finalized his divorce, he married Julie Chen. He met her when she was a newsreader on The Early Show, mm-hmm. which is their morning show. And then she was the host of Big Brother. Is she still the host of Big? Yeah.
Chen Moonves, the Chen bot.
Yes. And then she went on to co-host The Talk, their version of The View. She left that part. She left that show, though, and we'll get into that in a minute. And they have one son together. So in, let's say, 2017, that's when the Me Too movement started to take off, right? And everything starting to ramp up. And Moonves was, like, very supportive of the Me Too movement. He actually helped found a commission, the Commission on Eliminating Sexual Harassment and Advancing Equality in the Workspace. And it is chaired by Anita Hill, who, if you don't know who Anita Hill is, she is someone who testified against now Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas about sexual harassment, which was barely a thing when she did it. And we did Dirty by Anita Hill.
Oh,
we
Biden didn't have was terrible when she was.
Yes.
Yes. When she had a when she was in front of Congress and giving her testimony, he was one of the real shitheads against her.
Yes. She's a hero.
Yeah. And Clarence Thomas is a creep. He's on the list.
Such a creep. You know, like him and Kavanaugh just sit around. All right. I don't want to talk about them. It'll just I hate them. I want to punch them in the face. So Les Moonves like involvement in Me Too was super ironic because he's actually guilty of years of sexual harassment and sexual assault. 30 current and former employees of CBS talked to Ronan Farrow at The New Yorker and said that CBS News and CBS shows were just sexual misconduct was running rampant through CBS. And the company was actually paying all these settlements to women to like keep them quiet and then keeping the dudes like on their shows. And the women were like leaving CBS. So it all came from up top, right? Like Les Moonves is getting away with it. Everyone underneath him started to get away with it too. And meanwhile, he's like, Me Too, super important. And I'm chairing this committee and blah, 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 fuck off. So here's some of the incidents that happened. These were the ones that happened on his watch, by the way. So 8 women came out and accused Charlie Rose of sexual harassment, including groping. And managers at the network and Les Moonves were made aware of it on 3 separate occasions. Eventually, that number went up to 35 women before they did anything about it.
His big move was to, like, once again, he liked to walk around in a bathrobe and sometimes no clothes underneath it. And these women would come over thinking they're working, you know, bringing scripts or something like that. And then he'd be like Sharon Stoning it, you know, like opening up his robe. And ugh, yeah, he's such a pig.
He's so gross. There was another one where Moonves actually was involved in paying out actress Elijah Dushku, who, if you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she was Faith on there and she did a show called True Calling. But at one point she was on a CBS drama called Bull, and she got $9.5 million after she left the show because she was being sexually harassed by the co-star Michael Weatherly. Mm-hmm. By the way, he's still like a CBS star. Like, they still, like, love him. It's gross. And then in December 2018, CBS confirmed that Brad Kern, this was a showrunner and executive producer of NCIS New Orleans, had been the subject of sexual harassment and discrimination allegations. And he kept his position for more than a year after they were made aware. We got Aaron Gee, who worked for CBS for more than 15 years. She filed a lawsuit that the executive director at CBS Evening News urged her to have sex with a coworker because she was having difficulties with him. And this director thought it would break the ice.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then she was demoted after she complained. So that's just like shit that like he was letting slide. And there was a reason he was letting all this slide, because he's guilty of the same thing. So in the early 80s, there was a TV writer named Dana Kurgo. And she said that Moonves called her for a professional meeting. And so she went to the meeting. And then after the meeting, he asked her out. And she denied him, you know, was like, no thanks. And then after that, she started getting all the shit around town where it was like, she's difficult to work with. And it was all from him. He was telling everyone she's difficult to work with. She doesn't know how to play ball. And then it really hurt her career. Mm-hmm. It sucked. It was a long time before she got another gig. And then eventually she did get a gig writing for a Tracy Ullman show, which it was a great show.
Yeah.
Another writer, Janet Jones, told The New Yorker that she was in a pitch meeting with Moonves and he forcibly kissed her. And when she tried to get away, he had locked his office door and he only unlocked it after she threatened to scream. This is so gross. He's so gross. Phyllis Golden Gottlieb, said that Moonves drove her to a secluded area in 1986 and forcibly held her head down to give him oral sex.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then in 1988, she said he left a meeting in his office and returned without pants on. And that she immediately left the office and rejected him. She worked at CBS, by the way. I should make this clear. And then she said the next day he pushed her up against a wall.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And then when she rejected him again, because she was always rejecting him, you know, her career suffered. Like, once again, like, she's difficult to work with. She doesn't know how to play ball. She even reported the assault to the police department, but the statute of limitations had expired, so no charges were filed. A junior executive in the late 80s, Deborah Morris, said that Moonves attempted to kiss her and then she ran away, and that Moonves continued to harass her for months. And then one night when she was in the passenger seat of his car, he grabbed both of her shoulders and attempted to force himself on her. She worked at CBS. Like, she's just trying to do her job.
Fuck, fuck, fuck.
I know. And then after she rejected him, what do you think happened?
Well, she's difficult.
She's difficult to work with. Yeah. She was frozen out of meetings. He refused to speak with her, and her career suffered as a result. So this one's kind of a mystery. There is a quote unquote prominent actress who played she was in a detective show or a police show. There's two different stories here. It was ran for a long time on CBS. It was in the 80s.
Oh, shit.
So
Cagney and Lacey? Was that CBS?
Funny you should say that. So here's the two theories.
Okay.
One of them is it's Sharon Gless from Cagney and Lacey.
She was super hot.
Yeah. Or the other one is Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote.
No.
Yeah, that he hit on her back in the 80s, and she was like, no thanks. And when he became president of CBS, this actress called to congratulate him, like, hey, you're good job, you got this awesome job. And he said to her, you should have fucked me when I asked you to. And that years later, like, her show ends and she has another project and she's interested in working at CBS. And she met up with him and he told her that she was too old for his network. And then he forcibly kissed her, like shoved his tongue in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
And she never worked at CBS again.
Sharon Gless. That's totally Sharon Gless.
Yeah.
Because I think Angela Lansbury would pop him. I think she's tougher than she looks.
Yeah. Either way, it's fucking awful. And there's like, yeah, like the two theories is that these internet sleuths are on it. And they're like, it's Angela Lansbury or it's Sharon Gless.
Sharon Gless, I think. Yeah. She was dating Barney Rosenzweig. He was like the producer of the show.
Ah.
Yeah. So Gless might, like, Gless knew him. So Gless would probably like have meetings and she was very sexy.
Yeah.
Like she was the, like, yeah, Cagney and Lacey. Who did she play? Cagney or Lacey?
I don't remember.
But one of them was more of the maternal type. She was Italian.
Yeah, Tyne Daly.
Tyne Daly. She had sons that went off to serve in Iraq or something. But she, I loved the show. But she, but Cagney was like the sexy vixen kind of one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I totally.
But it's never been confirmed. But the story is out there. Writer Linda Silverthorne said that Moonves tried to kiss. He began kissing her when she was in a meeting in his office, and he whipped out his penis.
Oh, great!
Cool. She just wants to do her job, and here comes Here comes this executive whipping out his penis. Awesome, dude. You guys, don't be whipping out your dicks at women unless they ask to see it. Just don't.
Yeah.
A former child star, she is not using her full name. She's just going by Kimberly, probably not even her real name, said that in 1992, Moonves attempted to get a hotel room for the two of them. And when she declined, he got angry and left. And she became difficult to work with. She doesn't know how to play ball. Another woman, Jessica Paulingston, said that Moonves asked her for a massage.
A massage again? That's a Weinstein move.
Yep.
Weinstein probably called and then him.
I know. They probably...
What's your move,
there's
man?
Some sort of... They all like... They all must have taken a class together.
Yeah.
On like how to do this shit. Because all of them... I think Charlie Rose did the same thing.
Yeah, and Bob Woodward, when he was talking to the two women who wrote the book about Me Too, they were from the New York Times, Jody Cantor, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking out the other name, but he would say, when they would describe the massages, he would say, well, is this a form of foreplay? Do you think that's what it is? It's like, no, they're at their goddamn jobs. You know?
Yeah. So he asked this woman for a massage. He attempted to force her to perform oral sex on him. This is when she was an executive assistant in 1994. He pushed her head down on his dick. And she began crying and shaking and said she can't do this. And she said that he didn't push it any farther, but then later grabbed her breasts and had loud phone sex in front of her.
Ew.
Just trying to... Gross. She's just trying to do her job. E. Jean Carroll is currently suing
45.
Disgraced former President Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She wrote a whole essay in New York Magazine about how Moonves sexually assaulted her in an elevator in the mid-90s. She was just trying to interview him for a story for Esquire.
She was asking for it.
Yeah, that's what she gets for being in an elevator with a dude.
I meant that as a joke, by the way.
Yes, of course. Of course. No, Margo totally meant it, you guys. No. In 1995, there's an actress named Bobby Phillips. She was in Showgirls. And she met with Les Moonves in his office. She said they talked for a little bit. And then eventually he said to her, look how hard you make me. So gross. Then he undid his pants, exposed his penis. And he said, be my girlfriend and I'll put you on any show. And then he grabbed her by the neck and pushed her to her knees and forced his penis into her mouth.
Ay, ay, ay.
That is sexual assault.
Yes.
After the attack, Bobby Phillips started suffering anxiety attacks and was terrified to go on auditions and refused to go to meetings with executives by herself. Because...
Yeah, because she got attacked.
Yeah, exactly. So needless to say, this impacted her career. And I just feel so sad for her. That's awful. And of course, like Moonves issued a statement after this story went out. This is the story he was most afraid of, by the way. Like there's a whole story in the New York Times in which he told like somebody, if Bobby speaks out, I'm screwed. Basically, because this is the one that like he was most afraid. And then he issued a statement that said, I strongly believe the sexual encounter with Miss Phillips more than 20 years ago was consensual.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Deborah Kate was working as a massage therapist in the late 90s, and he like propositioned her on the reg. And apparently there were a lot of other massage therapists at the Four Seasons Hotel in Washington, D.C. that complained about Moonves and wouldn't work with him because that's what he would do, right? Whip mm-hmm. his dick out at these poor women. Also around this time, actress Sybil Shepherd had a sitcom on CBS called Sybil. Did you ever watch it?
Oh, I loved it. Tom Wilkins.
Yeah, I watched.
Christine Baranski.
Yeah, I watched it sometimes too. I always thought it was really funny. I liked Sybil Shepherd. I liked Moonlighting a lot too. She agreed to have dinner with him, and she said during the dinner he was just telling her like how his wife didn't turn him on anymore, and how this mistress he has doesn't turn him on. And then he was like, "Why don't you let me take you home?" And she's like, "Nah, I've got a ride." And she's like, a good friend of mine who's an off-duty Los Angeles Police Department officer is going to give me a ride home. And I was all, Sybil Shepherd doesn't fuck around. So shortly after that dinner, the show, which was doing quite well and had won multiple Emmys, was pulled from the schedule. And the show was canceled on a cliffhanger, by the way, because they were fully expecting to be back because the show was doing well. And then all the remaining episodes that have been filmed were dumped in the summer when nobody was watching. So that sucks.
Yeah.
Another actress, Elena Douglas. I love her.
Ileana Douglas?
Yes. Thank you. I love her. She's one of those people. She's special. She's like when she shows up, she's always good. She said in 1997, she was called into a meeting with him and he pinned her down on a couch. He forcibly kissed her, pulled up her skirt and like grinding on her.
Ugh.
And then he said, "This is just between you and me. You're not some nubile virgin." He's married at the time, by the way.
Yeah.
And she ran out of the room and then she was fired from the show she was going to be starring in the following week. And she said, "What happened to me was sexual assault. And then I was fired for not participating." Like, she is right.
Right. What an asshole.
Yes. And then Moonves released a statement saying that he denies it, says Moonves says no. He said that it was not sexual assault. There was no intimidation and there was no retaliation.
Sorry, guys. My internet's been a little wonky today. Keep going.
We have a few more, everyone. We could get through this together. Ann Peters. You link arms and let's get through this together. Ann Peters, who is a doctor who is treating him for diabetes, by the way. He tried to kiss her and he masturbated in front of her.
Oh.
She's a doctor. She's trying to do her job. I hate this man so much. In the early 2000s, another woman named Deborah Green was working with Moonves as a freelance makeup artist. And she was working on a promotional photo shoot with him. And he got up and he aggressively kissed her. In 2006, a producer named Christine Peters said she met him in his office to discuss a project. And he sat down super close to her and put his hand up her skirt and tried to pull off her underwear.
Oh, God.
Yes. And all of this came to light after Ronan Farrow did a story about Les Moonves for The New Yorker. But these were like well-known secret. Everybody knew. Like if women had a secret creep list, like Les Moonves was on it. You know, kind of like Harvey Weinstein, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be alone with Les Moonves. So the article comes out in The New Yorker and Les Moonves like releases a statement and he's like, "I recognize that there were times decades ago when I may have made some women uncomfortable by making advances, but those were mistakes and I regret them immensely. But I always understood and respected and abided by the principle that no means no. And I've never misused my position to harm or hinder anyone's career."
Bullshit.
Shit. Such bullshit. So the New Yorker article comes out. Within hours, Les Moonves steps down from his job and the network announces it's going to take $20 million out of his severance and donate it to organizations to help support women in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And they announced they were going to do their own investigation. I guess this would have been a couple months later. Moonves' wife, Julie Chen, announces that she's not returning to the talk. She needs to spend more time at home with her husband.
She does. She really wants to spend time with you.
Seriously. Seriously.
Is she really still on his side?
Yes.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I don't understand this. Like, does she think he didn't do it? And that just
all of them are liars.
Yes. Like three decades of women conspired to like tell these stories. Or does she just not care? Think he's a different man now? I don't know.
How
I don't know what
they've been
she's
together.
Thinking. They met in like 2004.
I mean, I know they have a son, but.
Yeah. But he was still doing this in 2006.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure he was doing it up until the fucking article came out.
Yeah. And he knows like all the other creeps on his other shows and what they were doing. He heard about it. He didn't give a shit.
No, because he was doing it.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Women are just, that's what they're there for. By the way, there's a whole other story that I didn't have space for with the woman who wrote Designing Women.
Yeah,
and Linda Evening Ludwig Shade.
Thomason.
Yes. Yes. Where he didn't sexually harass her, but like she said that he hated designing women.
Of course he did.
Because, and I was like, gee, I wonder why. And Evening Shade, by the way, was a big hit as well. Both of these shows like did well in ratings, had awards, things like that. He fucking hated her. He hated her. And like he would, she had like a deal with CBS, but he wouldn't produce any of her shows. And so she couldn't go anywhere else. Like, it's bullshit. He fucking sucks. I hate this dude. So Julie Chen is like, I'm not going to go on the talk because people probably ask her, hey, what's up with your husband? So she's like, I'm going to quit that show. I'm just going to talk about Big Brother now. Mm-hmm. On December 18th, 2008, CBS announced that they had done their own investigation and that they had found Moonves had violated his contract, obviously, and they were going to pay him his $120 million severance. That's a severance. Damn.
Wow.
So they're like, yeah, we're not going to pay you. Fuck off. Which I was like, good for you, CBS. And according to the investigators, all the claims by women were credible, and it led to other claims that were found to be credible. Like, they found more women during this, and it paints this picture of like a really powerful man that used and abused his position. And he also like apparently would force like a lot of employees to perform oral sex on him. And in a transactional way, not like he had relationships with them or anything like
no,
that.
Just
it was
give me
just
a blowjob and I'll
yeah, it's your
you
fucking job now to give me blowjobs. He's disgusting. So in addition, it was revealed that Moonves attempted to interfere with the investigation. He refused to answer questions. He lied when he did answer them. He deleted hundreds of messages, like text messages and emails. And he even gave them his son's iPad and tried to pretend it was his own to the investigators.
Oh my God. The one with Candy Crush on it?
Right? I was like, the investigators were like, dude's really into Minecraft. It's so weird. I'm like, what a fucking asshole. So when this investigation was leaked to the, and it was leaked to the press, Bobby Phillips, the one that he's like super afraid of, she had signed, like, apparently at some point she had signed some sort of confidentiality agreement, but when they leaked it, they broke the confidentiality agreement. So she got millions of dollars from them. And I'm like, yes,
good for her.
Get it. Get it, girl. She deserves it. Moonves sued CBS because he wanted his money. And just this past May, CBS and Moonves settled their lawsuit and he was paid an undisclosed settlement at nowhere near $120 million, apparently. And he was supposedly donating that money to charity.
I call bullshit on that. And I
me
think
too.
Also, he knows where the bodies are buried. So there's, he knows.
Exactly.
When you talk about that show, that's the, was it NCIS New Orleans?
Yeah.
The guy that had the complaint against him, I remember this because when it first came out, a woman writer was on the show and she had just given birth. You know, she was coming back from maternity leave and he would ogle her breasts and talk about her breasts in writer's meetings. And she said, this is unprofessional. And they still kept him on the fucking show.
Yeah.
It's the bullshit women have to deal with is just unbelievable.
Exactly. And they're, the reason they gave him a settlement, right, was so he shut his fucking mouth.
Right. Right. He knows where the bodies are buried. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He is a fucking creep. And that is our fucking creep, Les Moonves.
Good job, Sonia. I know
you're
going to
need
to take a Silkwood shower.
Yeah, I am. Ugh.
Are you ready to hear about someone who's not a creep? Now, this person is not a show business person, but her son is.
Yeah,
Are you curious?
I'm really, really excited to hear about this one.
This was given to us on our Facebook page and our Facebook group. I'm sorry I don't have the person's name in front of me, but thank you for posting this because this made me smile. It made me happy. One of my favorite movies of all time is Apollo 13. I've seen it like 100 times, maybe. And it's always been shown that it was white men in space mm-hmm. and white men that saved them. And there's no people of color and there's no women in the story. And I always wondered, like, what's the real story? And then we find out through Hidden Figures that there were African-American women who were called computers and they worked the science for many mm-hmm. of these launches. Anyway, the person today is Judith Love Cohen. She was an American aerospace engineer. She was from Brooklyn. She
nice.
Worked on the she worked in on space stuff, the Hubble Space Telescope, the tracking and data of relay satellite and the Apollo space program. After she retired, she founded a children's multimedia publishing company that eventually published more than 20 titles before her death in 2016. I'm talking about the mother of Jack Black. Her name, Judith Love Cohen. In August of 1969, when the Apollo mission, you know, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
They're up there in space. They're, you know, they're trapped. And basically my laptop right now has more power than the Apollo 13.
My phone has more power.
It is like my recording device here has more power. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And they had to solve all kinds of problems to bring them back, one of them being mechanical. She was one of the people that helped create a system to bring Apollo 13 home. What makes her even more special is she was 9 months pregnant when all this happened.
Oh my gosh.
So she was sent going to the hospital. She had to go to the hospitals because she was ready to give birth to Jack Black. Think about this.
He was probably a big baby, too.
I'm loud. I bet you he was a kicker. You just know it, right? He was a headbanger in the mm-hmm. womb. She goes by her office on her way to the hospital, tells her husband, I've got to work on a problem while, you know, they're doing this baby thing with me. Takes the work with her to the hospital. And then as she's before and after she gives birth, she works out the problem and then has that problem sent back to the Apollo to NASA so they can help bring these men home safe and sound.
Don't know how she did that.
She did right?
Yeah. As someone who's given birth, I don't know how you could do any other thing
than giving
while
birth.
That is. Yeah, it is painful and it takes all you got. So this woman is
a rock star.
Yes.
She gave birth to him. She works in that was the biggest. You know, she always said that was the biggest star in her life. Like, that was the biggest point in her life. I'm like, yeah, I bet it was. I bet, you know, everything else is kind of, you know, easy peasy. After that, she'd married a few times. She retired from the space programs and she decided to work in publishing because she wanted to help girls and to go into math and sciences. And she did that by creating a multimedia company, and she wrote a whole bunch of books. And this is like in the 90s, she started doing this. And it's, you can be a woman animator, you can be a woman architect, you could be a woman astronomer, you could be a woman basketball player, you could be a woman botanist. I mean, just going through this whole list of all these books that are meant to encourage girls to pick whatever career you want and to be successful. And she did
That's awesome.
Right. And then she did that for years. She had them also published in Spanish. I mean, just remarkable, remarkable, remarkable. She sadly passed away in 2016. She had four kids altogether. Her son, Neil Siegel, is also a computer scientist and an engineer. He's the one who wrote, when his mother passed away, he wrote her obituary. And that's when this story first started coming out. But for some reason, this past summer, people started popping up with, was Jack Black born the same day as that Apollo mission and his mother had something to do with it? The answer is yes. And that is our Not Creep this week, Judith Love Cohen.
That is an amazing selection. Like, what a kick-ass woman.
She's incredible. She's absolutely incredible. I just, you know, because I love all that space program stuff.
I watch
all those shows, everything about it. So I'm super thrilled to see a woman there. And she just sounds like amazing. And she's the mother of Jack Black. She's got to be cool. She's got to be funny.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
I love me some Jack Black.
Absolutely. That's
I love me some Apollo 13 too. We should put that on the list.
I think it's on our list. I'll talk about it anytime. That is absolutely okay. One of my favorite movies of all time. I've seen it 100 times, if not more.
It's on the list.
That's our show this week, everybody. Please, thank you so much for being a part of it. Thank you for joining our Patreon page where we put out bonus episodes. Thank you for leaving 5 stars and iTunes reviews. We completely appreciate that. If you want to send a suggestion to us, we're always looking for creeps. And once again, non-creeps, very, very helpful when you find them for us.
Yeah.
Reach out to us on social media, whichever one you prefer. We love it when you use the Annie Potts GIF from Ghostbusters. We got one. Or you could just be clever and pick whatever the hell you want. Our email, once again, is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Let us know if you would like some stickers. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Where can people find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. And my site is brooklynfitchick.com. If you like the sound of our voices, and I think everybody except that guy that left the 1-star does, we have a show called Dorking Out, where Sonia and I dork out about movies. And we're putting Apollo 13 on that list. Sonia, what are we going to be talking about next?
We are celebrating Scary Movie Month. If you go to fthismovie.com, they have people like you watch scary movies during October and you write 7-word reviews. So we are doing all scary movies. And this week we are doing Manhunter, the original Hannibal Lecter movie. I was torn between Hannibal the Cannibal and Hannibal Lecter, and it came out Hannibal the Lecter.
I like that even better. What's a Lecter? I don't know, but I'm scared.
Speaking of CSI, it stars William Peterson, and I'm really excited to watch it. It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I have a feeling it holds up, so it's going to be a good one.
That'll be the next one. Everybody, thank you again so much for listening to our show. Be good, be safe, be nice to each other. Don't be a creep.
Creep!
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.